Well, if you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. I feel kind of like the lightning bug that backed into the box fan in the window. I'm delighted to be here. And I appreciate your kindness and hospitality. I love you, Pastor, Brother Neil. And I know some of the people that attend here. I do pastor Bethel Baptist Church. Been there 25 years out in the Tabernacle area. Between Asheboro and Lexington, my family's here with me today that was here last night. We're minus one this morning. That would be my son-in-law. He works for Randolph Electric, and he had a call. He's on call, so he had to go down to Lake Tillery. Somebody's got to keep the lights on, and I appreciate him. And I know there's several of you that attend here that work for power companies and things of that nature. And so anyway, that's where he's at. Appreciate my wife, my first wife, my only wife that I was fortunate enough to run down. And she's blind, though, and she don't act like it, but she is. That's why she's still married to me. And that's my wife, Melissa Harrison. We've been married 32 years. And just the way she's smiling right now, she hadn't frowned since that day. Now, if you believe that, I've got another one for you that's going to require you giving part of your money. And after a while, I'm just kidding. My two daughters, my oldest one, Kaylin, she's on the left, got two precious grandbabies. And I know you love, have you ever met all you grandparents, have any of your grandkids ever done anything wrong? No. But our grandkids are rewards for not killing our children. Amen. And I've told Kaylin I don't know how many times, I'm so glad I did not kill her. I really am. But I love my grandkids, Carson, Ava, and Anderson, and then our baby daughter, Lindsay Beth. And she's here with us as well, and I just appreciate you so much. Aren't you glad God answers prayer? We have a prayer-answering God. While you turn to Isaiah chapter number 1, I'll tell you another little funny, then we'll preach. There was this busload of ugly people going down the road, had a head-on collision with a tractor and trailer. Killed everybody involved, everybody. Tractor and trailer driver, everybody on the ugly bus, everybody on there. They all got to heaven. The Lord said, I tell you what I'm going to do before I let you in. I'm going to give you one prayer request, one wish before I let you in. I asked the first one with excitement, said, I want to be beautiful. Poof, that person was beautiful right before they went into heaven. The next one, oh, I want to be beautiful too. Bam, from ugly to beautiful, just like that. The last man at the end of this prayer line was laughing uncontrollably. Continued to go. There was over 100 passengers on this bus, ugly bus, and everybody on the bus prayed and asked for the same thing. I want to be beautiful. And the more they asked it, the more this guy at the end, the tractor and trailer guy, was just laughing hysterically. They get down there to the last one, they say, well, or next to the last one, say, I want to be beautiful. Poof, there's a whole bus load of beautiful people now, and the truck driver laughing uncontrollably, and he says, okay, sir, and he calmed down just enough, says, what can I get for you, and what is your request? He said, I wish that all of them are ugly again. Yeah, it was pretty good, I thought. But Isaiah chapter number 1. You pray that God would help me today. I want to read verses 1 through 7 of Isaiah chapter number 1 and pray God would give us some help and encouragement from these verses. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah, which is the southern tribe of the nation of Israel. At this time, those of you that were here last night saw that we preached a message on getting to the place that God would have us, and we can't get there by ourselves, right? That was the promised land, Canaan land. At the writing of this letter, Israel had been in Canaan land some 700 years. So from last night to this morning, we are fast forwarding 700 years. During the process of that time, 400 of those years, it was ruled by judges, spiritual leadership that God had raised up to lead the nation. After 400 years, there had been a civil war take place between the northern and the southern tribe, kind of like the United States. Judah being the southern tribe, Israel being the northern tribe. During that time, the northern tribe Israel had had some 18 kings, every one of them of which was wicked. The southern tribe had 11 kings during that time, from 400 to 700 years, where we are right now, 300 years, some good, some bad. So Isaiah is writing and prophesying to the southern kingdom. During that time, they had been under attack by Egypt, the Assyrians, as well as Babylon. And for those of you that are acquainted with Bible definitions and numbers and things of that nature, you'll want to remember this for the sake of the message and the meaning behind it. The word Babylon, which is what he is prophesying about, the name literally means confusion, confusing, or confused. So actually what Isaiah is telling them, you are about to be invaded by, if you don't change your ways, confusion and being confused. Let's read on and remember what I've just shared with you. It says in verse 1, it says concerning Judah and Jerusalem, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. Is any of this looking familiar? They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. Why should you be stricken anymore? You'll revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Watch this now. Your country, consider America in this, is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, watch this now, as overthrown by strangers. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on this thought. A nation in crisis. This is a time in which Israel, as I've already mentioned and gave you some of the background as to where we are. But can I say, Brother Riley, I believe you would agree as well as everybody that is in this building, for the last several years, America has been that nation or a nation in a crisis. We have watched some of the things that we never thought we would ever see come across our television screens. We have seen the degradation of the family unit. We've seen the sanctity of life and the depravity of man continue to go down the downward spiral. We have seen the day come to where that which is evil is now called good, and that which is good is now called evil. And dare not say anything about it for the risk of being hauled off to jail. Ladies and gentlemen, you may not be aware of it as of yet. I'd say you probably are because y'all country folk like me. Our freedom of speech is under attack. It's not just the Second Amendment, but it is the First Amendment. They don't want you saying anything about the abominable things that is taking place across this country. America is a nation that is in crisis. Can I say our churches are in a crisis? Our country, just to kind of define where we are. Babies are still dying. Bibles are still dusty. Buildings are still dead. The brethren are still departing. Believers are still discouraged. Bound boundaries are now destroyed. Our bread is even decayed. Brokenness is diminished. Blemishes are denied pretty much by everybody. Blushing is decreasing and big-headedness seems to be dominating. Ladies and gentlemen, our country is in a crisis, much like the nation of Israel there. Look with me in chapter number 1 at a few things, and I think you'll find some similarities. But hang in here with me. I got some good news. But the ride is going to be a little bit bumpy, and we might get a little altitude, and you might get a little weak in your stomach. But I promise by the end of the service, God will help you if you'll hang in here with me. What is it that led this nation to get to where they was? What is it that has caused America to get to where we are? What is it that has caused us to ignore transgenderism and homosexuality and the moral degradation of our country? What is it that's caused us to not think anything about divorce and remarriage and divorce and remarriage and kids being brought up in a home where they don't know who daddy is and who mama is? What is it that has gotten America to this condition? I'd have to say it's probably the same thing that got the nation of Israel or the tribe of Judah in a crisis. Number one, by way of introduction, I wanted you to notice how that their Lord was ignored. Look in verse number 2. He says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." You want me to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what I do believe is the culprit and the degradation of our great country? I do not believe it is the world necessarily. I do believe it is the church. It is the people of God. We have rebelled against God. It is not this world and this country that we live in that is going to obey God. They don't know. They're lost. They're confused. They're condemned already. But it is the people of God that has rebelled against God and His Word. Can I say America today, I do believe, is under the judgment hand of God simply because we as God's people have rebelled against God. We've rebelled against God. Number two, we've ignored Him. Number two, notice how not only their Lord was ignored, but notice how their lack was intelligence. Look at verse number 5. "Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more," as if you can tell things aren't getting better, but we just keep going and doing the wrong thing. Will you continue to do that? Notice what he says. The whole head is sick. The whole heart, preacher, is faint. I don't know about y'all, but there's some sick individuals in this world. Our country is sick. You say, what's the sickness? We are sin sick. We are sin sick. A nation, America, is a sick nation. I mean, when you go somewhere and you see all of these, I mean, and I've got to be myself, and the preacher said I could be, so I'm just going to say a woman marrying a woman ain't right. And a man marrying a man ain't right. You know, I love my King James Bible. I really do. But I will agree. I will have to say I've got a problem with a little bit of it. And one verse in particular is this, where he said, "Greet your brother with a holy kiss." Can I come down here? Am I okay? I gotta admit, when I saw your pastor, he's a fine looking feller, I reckon, but I was not thinking as soon as I saw him, boy, I really want to give him sugar first thing. No, I need to go back up there. Miss Jackson was probably thinking the same thing this morning. I really don't want to give him sugar. I mean, could you imagine, Brother Alton, somebody, you going up to some brother, I mean, Lord have mercy, and really giving them sugar on the jaw? Oh, no, no, no. I believe in taking my Bible literal, but I ain't a-kissing none of you fellers in here. And I'm telling you that right now. No, no, no. My wife don't even like kissing on me every now and then, but I definitely ain't a-kissing on none of you men. But, I mean, these people are sick in the head. And they say, God made me this way. Can I say God don't make no mistakes? God made man and woman in the Garden of Eden. It made man, Adam, and Eve. And I know you've heard it was not Adam and Steve. But I will agree with those that say, God made me this way. Yes, you was born a sinner. You was born in sin. And you made a choice to go and choose that lifestyle. God did not create a man and a woman to be a lesbian or a homosexual in that fashion. And people that think otherwise, they're messed up. Now, I don't know if I should say it or not, but I'm going to. It's not right naturally. It's not right morally. It's not right physically. It cannot be right. And America is a nation that has fallen for it. They're teaching our kids that. They want them to accept it. Now you can choose if you want to be a boy or a girl, a dog or a cat or a giraffe. They are sick in the noggin. And when you've got people in government that want to put female necessities in a male bathroom, are y'all with me? It's not right. That is sickening. I mean, we even had a big thing about saying down in Charlotte if it was okay for a man to use a woman's bathroom. Well, I'm just going to go on and tell you, if any of my kids are in there and you, a man walks in there, I'm coming in right behind you. I mean, really, y'all, we've gotten that far, preacher, to where we don't even know where a man should go use the restroom or a woman because we don't want to offend nobody. I was told about a kid here a while back that was in a school. God bless all you teachers. Are there any teachers in the building? Y'all need a raise and probably a few nerve pills too. I don't see how you do it, but God bless all of you teachers. I was told here a while back where there was one kid started identifying as a cat. And the parents they brought a litter box. I know it's funny, but I'm telling you, it's shameful. Into the classroom and made other kids accept the fact that this person is now identifying as a cat. What if I told you, even in our own areas, and thank God we've got somebody that can stop some of this horse sense, at least let us know up there in Raleigh what's a-coming down the pipe, amen, and fight for what is right. Can I get an amen? Now, and he'll probably verify this, they want to identify gender from the waist up, sex from the waist down, and split the two. They ain't but two genders, y'all. Male and female. And I know this sounds elementary to a bunch of country people, but I'm telling you, outside of Bennett and outside of Randolph County and Chatham County, and it's even in here some, friend, America, our nation, our communities, our counties are in a crisis. And our lack is intelligence. Some people need to sue their brain for non-support. I'm being honest, and I'll make this statement. I honestly believe, preacher, that some are crippled way too high for crutches. Some of y'all get that after a while when you ponder that. I mean, what in the world? How did America get in such a crisis? It's because our Lord was ignored. It's because our lack is intelligence. Their labor was insulting. Look at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose, watch this, is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of the rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more are vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting. You want me to tell you what was happening there? In the midst of their rebellion and backsliding against God, they still continued to hold their little religious ceremonies and went through the motions of offering up their sacrifices. And that's why you better thank God this morning that you could feel a little bit of the Holy Ghost while the singing was taking place, that God was still being honored. Why is that? There's a lot of buildings across this country that's nothing more than sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. They care nothing about the Word of God or the worship of the God of the Bible. And their labor was insulting unto God. Number four, their lust was iniquity. That's what got them in a mess. Look at verse 21. I'm going to get to my message here in just a moment. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment and righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers. They loved their sin more than they loved God and godly things. They're talking about God's people here. You know what I think would really be good for America is if our churches would have a national day of repentance. I'm talking about all of us. Ain't nobody in here no better than anybody else. We've all got our issues, everybody in here. And I guarantee you we'd see something happen maybe if we'd all repent and turn back to God and fall back in love with Him more than we love our own sin. Their lust was iniquity. They loved their sin more than they loved Him. Now for some good news. In spite of all of this, in spite of everything that's happening in America, in spite of everything that was happening here to the southern tribe of Judah, there's three encouraging things I want to share with you, and I'm going to be done. Number one, the first thing that gave me hope when I was reading this and studying this, such a bad situation, terrible, invaded by other countries, just like our southern border. We're invaded, y'all. Nobody cares. They're all over the country. Give me some hope. You know, we come to church all the time saying, you know, yeah, America's in a mess, but what's our hope? Same hope they had, number one. Even though this nation was in a crisis, there was a preacher that was still preaching. I want you to notice in verse number one, watch this. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Verse 2, hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up to you. You say, preacher, what's he doing? Isaiah knew that the nation of Judah, the southern tribe, was in a mess. Now it would appear that many would have closed their Bible, went to the house and gave up. Said, there ain't no use. It ain't never going to be like it used to be 30 or 40 years ago. Y'all listen, I remember the days of Mays Jackson, and I can remember the days of Billy Kelly and Harold Seitler and B.R. Lakin and all of these great men of God that God had used and raised up for a time when it appeared that a stream of revival was moving through the South. I can remember in the 70s during the time of Brother Barbary being here, revival breaking out down here in Bennett. I was a little boy, but I remember hearing my daddy talk about it. Some of y'all probably remember those days gone by when the power of God would move among His people across this land and in this community. Some of you might have even got saved during that time of revival meeting. And you're thinking back to those days, said, I can remember having baptisms in the cow pasture and remembering the Spirit of God and hearing the songs of Zion and the people of God shouting long before you got to the church building. And when the man of God would get to the pulpit, it was as if the fire of God would fall on him. And we long for those days once again. And you're thinking, it'll never be like it was. No doubt they thought the same thing. But amen, Amen. Let me tell you something, Beulah, that we can thank God for. Even though our nation is in a crisis, isn't it good to know that we still got some men of God, hallelujah, that are still preaching the Word of God. Brother Neil, hold on to the Word. Keep preaching the book. Roll your sleeves up. Grab that book by the horns. Ask God to anoint your man of God. Because if there's one thing we need in this day, whether you're in the balcony or on the front row, we need God's men to be filled with the Holy Ghost and power to reach people in this day. It's like Brother Neil, every so often, and I know a lot of preachers, same place you do, all over the country, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Ohio, Tennessee, Wyoming, Texas. It's like about once a month I hear tell of one throwing in the towel. I'm not saying that's bad, y'all. I'm not looking down on them. I'm not. I wouldn't dare do that. It's hard. For those of y'all that think it's a piece of cake preaching in a day like today, God bless your dear heart. Get your little King James Bible, your little tie, and your little darling wife. Jump on up here and get you a bucket full of it. Huh? There was a day when I was a young boy, and even I've been preaching 30 years, I can remember when you went to church, the truth was not only expected, but it was appreciated. We're living in a day today to where the truth is not only not expected, it's definitely not appreciated. And preachers get a bad name. All you got to do is say what God said, and people get stomping mad, slam the doors in church, get their ball and bat, and go down the road and play somewhere else and cause trouble there too. I say good riddance and hallelujah and amen. It's not easy being a man of God today. Neither has it ever been. I've heard stories about your granddaddy laying in motels of praying, weeping for days. Dr. Percy Ray, I've been down to Myrtle, Mississippi, Myrtle Baptist. His old house sitting back there in the back. I know Dr. Percy Ray had been around here a lot. We don't have no clue. That man would pray all day as a eunuch, lived by himself, never got married. Listen, some of the church people down there, I preached down there some around in the area, Locust Grove Baptist Church over in Pontotoc, New Albany. They've told stories about Dr. Ray. They said, Dr. Ray, the church saw to it he got his meals. In the morning, they'd bring his breakfast. They'd knock on the door. If he didn't come to the door, they'd lay his meal there on the kitchen table. They'd hear Dr. Ray back there in the back side of the house praying. They'd come back at lunch to bring his lunch, knock on the door. Dr. Ray wouldn't come to the door. They'd go back in the house, there's breakfast still sitting, ain't nothing been touched, lay his dinner or lunch down, hear Dr. Ray still back yonder praying. Come back at supper time, knock on the door, had his supper fixed, Dr. Ray wouldn't ever come to the door, they'd open the door and go in, there said his breakfast and his lunch, Dr. Ray still back there in the back, they could hear him praying. Listen, friends, I'm telling you, if there's ever been a day that the men of God need to spend time in prayer, it's today, and you better be praying for your man of God. You better be lifting him up to stand in this evil day. There's many dropping by the wayside and falling by the wayside, but in this wicked, ungodly, evil day, you better thank God that you've got a man of God that will get up here and preach the Word of God to you and your children and your family, and you better appreciate that man. You better thank God for him. Isaiah didn't let up. I must say, I have wrestled with the spirit of quit the more last 2 years than I have in my tenure. I've never seen things like this. This COVID pandemic, I didn't have no idea how I was going to make it. Some people say, well, are you going to have them wear a mask? No, I ain't going to make them wear a mask. Well, are we going to come to church? I don't know. We're going to church. And then, well, I don't think we need to go to church. And I think we need to do this. And I think we need to do that. And I think we need to do this. And I'm like, would y'all please just hush a minute? I'm trying to hear from God. And I got all these people. What are we going to do, preacher? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to worship God. And if you wanted to wear a mask, you wore a mask. If you didn't want to come to church, watch it on TV. You could sit in the living room or the dining room. We had it on what, short scream or short wave. We had it on radio. You could listen there. And if you wanted to come in, you could wash your hands. We had hand sanitizers everywhere. We had to try to appeal to everybody. Why? Because our country's in a crisis. And if there's one thing we need, it's not to be away from the house of God and God's people and the preaching of the word. What we need now more than anything else is some of these so much the more meetings like your preacher is having, and draw us together and come together in fellowship and worship Him. Why? We are a nation in crisis.
There was a preacher that was still preaching. Oh, Isaiah didn't quit. Can I give you another point number two? I ain't got but two more. Watch this now. Even though this nation was in crisis, there was a preacher still preaching. But in verse number 9, you'll find a people still persevering. Look at verse number 9. Y'all, this is giving me goosebumps right here. I'm going to preach over here for a while. I ain't been over here much. Y'all going to think I'm partial to that side. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been likened to Gomorrah. Let me tell you what God done. There was a group of people during this time in Judah that refused to bow down as Babylon was getting ready to come in and take them over, and confusion was about to ransack that. Remember I told you Babylon's name means confusion, confusing or confused. That's what he's saying is getting ready to come in. A bunch of confusion. What do you think America's been hit with? A bunch of confusion. But during this time of confusion, praise God, not only have the preachers kept on preaching, but thank God for you people around here and up yonder in the balcony that's still persevering, even though America is in a crisis. Thank God for you people. Some of y'all in here been saved longer than I've been born. You want to know how old I am? I'm about the same age as your preacher. I'm just a whole lot better looking. I might look older. That's because I've been running a little bit harder. Yeah, I have. Probably self-inflicted, my brother. I look at some of you older people in here. Last night I got to talk to some old Jerry Beal, old Dink. And I think about the swordsman quartet all the time. We used to have them every year over at Bethel. Me and Brother Alton was talking last night. Them were some good old days, my brother. I can remember Daddy having spells over. I remember one year, old Dr. Keith Purser. I don't know if y'all know him. He used to pastor Church Street behind Brother Canoy. He's had a stroke and in a wheelchair now. Lives down in Georgia. I remember it got so thick in there one day while he was getting ready to preach. He was called to preach. Or it was his time to get up and preach. And he had just come out of about a 6-month battle of depression. And he come up out of his chair and started singing like the prodigal son on his way to the pulpit. And the power of God fell down in there on that place. It got so thick I thought I was going to lose my breath coming out. It was those times like that. And some of you old hair, old people in here, I called you old people. I felt like God said it'd be all right. Some of you people been saved a long time. Thank God for your faithfulness. Thank God for you hanging in here. You've seen a lot of change. We don't like change. We're Baptists. But you've seen a lot of change. You've been here a long time. You've served God and you've been faithful. And if there's anything we need right now is for all of the people of God, young as well as old, to persevere during this time. Thank God these people persevered. My last point and I'm done. During all of this time, this nation in crisis, there was a preacher that kept on preaching. You better pray for this man. Y'all, I'm telling you. I'm just telling you, you better be praying for him. Devil hates him. He does. He hates him. Don't fall in line with him. It was a people persevering. You better thank God for everybody that's in this church. So there's a lot of people got out the last 4 or 5 years. Some people said COVID ruined the church. No, it did not. It didn't ruin the church. It just showed what the real church was. Those that got out was looking for a reason to get out anyway, and they got it. It just revealed the church. And so there was a people persevering. That's why if you got an alt with somebody, make it right, get it right. We need everybody in the body. Get over it, swallow your pride, and love them. We got to hang on, y'all. We got to hang on. But then there was a promise still pending. Look at verse number 18. I'm so thankful for this promise. I could quote it to you, and you probably could too, but I'm going to read it to you. Listen to what Isaiah the prophet said. Come when? He said, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It's a great invitation to the whole nation to come. And don't put it off. He said, I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about next week. You say, preacher, I need to clean things up. No, he said, come now, even though your sins are scarlet. He don't care how you look right now. He wants you just like you are right now. And that promise is still pending. Now, let me ask you this, Beulah Baptist Church. Y'all some kind people. Y'all are. You're just like a bunch of rednecks. You just don't want people to know you're redneck. You like being called country more than you like being called redneck. To me, I like redneck. I even got it on my truck, redneck edition. Amen. You know what would be good, Beulah? I mean, y'all would agree with me, America's in a crisis right now. I'm being honest. And those of y'all that couldn't find the strength to lift your arm up, you know we are too. I wonder how many of us this morning would respond to this promise that's still pending. It's exactly what he's saying to you and me and everybody in here. Would you come now? Would you be the beginning of restoration? Or are we going to continue to rebel against God and go headlong into captivity? Matter of fact, this captivity ended up being 70 years. They stayed in Babylonian captivity. Confused.